Hey, welcome to the Napcast, your source of geekly entertainment. My name is David.
And my name is Seth. And we have our first guest of season two with us this afternoon. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Shelby.
Hi, Shelby.
Hello, Shelby. Welcome to the show. So as we usually do, as we've done since season one, we'll ask the guest a random question. So Shelby, I'll ask you something like, I happen to know that you like drawing things, so what would you say is the worst thing you've ever drawn or the hardest thing you've ever drawn?
Worst
either
as
one of
in subject matter or like the worst drawing
worst
she's
as in
ever
you tried
made.
To give it a really good attempt and it just did not look good.
Okay, there we go.
Consistently hands.
They're
really hard. Everyone hates them.
Okay, hands are not as big of a deal as fingers, I think.
Ooh.
That's the part that everyone gets tripped up on. I hate drawing fingers.
So if you just draw people with
your
mittens
pain.
Where you can't see anything,
does
that work?
Or draw them with like their hands in the pockets of their coat or something.
Or behind their back.
So you just
the time. All the time.
It's foggy. That's why it looks like it's been erased 17 times.
Why does the entire picture look foggy? Don't ask. All right, Shelby, you now have the opportunity to ask either one of us, or both, any question you would like.
Huh. I think I will ask both of you.
Ooh.
If you could only watch one movie for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Only one movie? Does YouTube itself count?
That's not a movie.
Father, I was hoping for a loophole here.
See, I think I'm actually going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say Cloud Atlas.
Ooh.
Never seen that one.
It's a movie talking about six different protagonists and the ways that their story intersects over six different time periods. So I think if I had to watch that one over and over and over and over and over, there'd always be something good I could get out of it.
Yeah.
I think my option here is going to be Groundhog Day. I'm just kidding. One of the guys in the booth that's watching just showed me that. I just laughed silently at it because it's so perfect.
That is a good wow, the irony.
I'm not actually going to choose that because, to be honest, I've never actually seen it, though I hear it's pretty good.
Oh, it's so funny.
Such a great option, though. I would probably have to go with something that's like enjoyable that I would love watching over and over rather than something that I'd like to watch once every so often. Like, for example, I really like the movie The Dark Knight.
Fair enough.
But that's not one that I would want to watch over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah,
I still really like watching it. So if it had to be one that was just like silly or something fun to watch over and over, I might go with something like The Lego Movie. Just because that's one that I feel like if I had to watch that over and over, I would be fine doing so.
Yeah, and there's always something new that you're probably going to notice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll become an expert on all things The Lego Movie for some reason.
Everything is Lego!
For today's episode, Seth, what do you have for us? I believe you found a quiz.
So we were talking before we actually started recording and realized that both David and myself and Shelby are all fans of a certain book series called Artemis Fowl.
Which is one of the best book series ever written about a guy named Artemis Fowl.
Fair enough. Okay.
It's also a really great book
I was waiting for a qualifier on that one.
There had to be, yeah.
So it's written by an Irish man named Owen Colfer.
Who actually did write one of my favorite books of all time, a book called Airman.
That is an excellent book. So what we are going to do is I have a couple of quizzes here that I'm going to give to David and Shelby, rather.
You yourself are also going to try to answer them, Seth, but you're asking us the questions.
Yes. So for this first quiz, I'm going to be asking David and Shelby some questions about the first book in the Artemis Fowl series, of which there are eight, and we'll see what score they get.
Apparently the average score is 19, so if we do less than average, I'll just say that means we haven't read the books recently because I don't want to feel too bad about myself.
Yeah, and so there are multiple choice options. Should you feel like you need them, you may ask.
Well, we may or may not need them. We'll find out.
All right, let's get this started. So, in the preface of this novel, we learn that Artemis Fowl is a 12-year-old genius. He has taken over the family business when his father, Artemis Fowl Sr., is reported dead at sea. Artemis Sr. was traveling to Murmansk, Russia, to import what item that would legitimize his business holdings?
My first thought is, like, Coca-Cola, or some sort of soft drink.
Yeah.
But I'm not actually sure. Oh boy, it's been so long since I've read this. Because I remember there was an explosion at some point regarding cola somewhere. Or am I getting my sources mixed up? Let's do the multiple choice option just so I can feel
more validated.
All right,
so the multiple choice options are blue jeans, stuffed animals, DVDs, or cola.
Well, yeah. that makes it's it pretty yeah, solid in my mind. Obvious. I'm going to go with cola.
It is, in fact, cola.
Hey.
Ironically enough, the explosion that you're thinking of happened in the Bay of Cola, spelled with a K. So that's
what I was thinking. Okay.
That's where the irony comes in. I think he did that on purpose.
Or maybe it got the name after the explosion. Oh, wait, no.
What?
What?
All right. Question number two. While Artemis Sr.'s demise prompts Artemis Jr. to action, it has the opposite effect on Mrs. Fowl, who retreats into a nervous, depressed, psychotic state.
Okay.
What is Mrs. Fowl's first name?
Angeline, isn't it?
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's something with an A, I think.
Angeline is correct.
Hey!
Hey!
It's been so long since I've read that. It helps that she shows up in other books as well.
She does show up in quite a few later
books. I've
read
the other ones more recently than the first one.
Yeah. All right, question three. The next character we meet is Holly Short.
Ooh.
Holly is technically an elf, generally...
She's fairly short. Oh, wait.
Generically a fairy and a member of the LEP Recon Unit, which LEP standing for Lower Elements Police. It's the joke.
She's a leprechaun.
Yep.
It's a clever book.
Okay, so in giving a physical description and history of Holly, the author mentions that Holly is the great-granddaughter of which mythological being?
Oh, boy. My first thought is, like, King Arthur.
Well,
not Arthur, but, like, Merlin.
It's tied to a specific feature that she is apparently descended from this mythological character.
Like, she has the same nose as... In that, well, not
essentially,
exactly.
That's as much of a hint as I can give you without giving it away.
I'm still thinking Merlin, but I don't remember.
There are multiple choices, should you choose them.
Yes, please.
Okay. Your options are Hermes, Zeus, Cupid, or Hercules.
Oh, boy. This is Greek mythology now.
Yep.
Huh.
I'm still going to go with Merlin. No, wait, no.
It's not even a choice.
So?
But.
Oh, boy. Do the multiple choice options say which feature it is?
No.
Or is it just the names?
I will tell you what feature it is if you guess it correctly.
Because you know this one?
I do know this one. Oh, even if you don't guess it correctly, I will probably still tell you.
It doesn't sound like Hermes, to be honest.
I don't know. That was my first thought, just considering the way Holly is.
Okay. I don't think it would be Zeus. That one just doesn't seem right at all. Doesn't sound like Cupid, though. Mm-mm. That one's semi-plausible, more so than Zeus. What was the final option?
Hercules.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I'm going to have to agree with you, Shelby. I think Hermes is the most plausible. But I'm going to get through this question by guessing because I don't remember. So we'll see if my luck is as good as Seth's was.
You are actually incorrect on this one. It was Cupid.
Oh, well, I mean...
In the book, she's described as having similar lips as Cupid.
Okay.
I must have missed that detail.
I don't know why that particular detail stuck in my mind like it did, but it did.
Why are you asking the question?
Because last time I guessed all the questions right.
But I need that. That's
know,
how I feel smarter
but it
about
makes
myself.
It funnier if you don't get all the questions right.
Okay.
Okay, question number four. In the book, we learn that leprechauns, fairies, goblins, trolls, and the like have retreated underground, the last place that humans haven't tainted, whatever that means. Amazingly enough, in addition to having their magical abilities to use, there is a centaur who has been able to advance their lives through the use of technology. What is the name of this techie centaur?
Foley.
And I know that one because I've done a lot of like audio recording recently. And the term for recording like footsteps or leaf crunches or like mostly body movements and things like that is called Foley.
Yep.
Spelled differently, but I kept making that connection. And that's all I could think about during the
Fair
class.
Enough.
So I know that it's
that
Foley.
That is correct. I'm going to give you the multiple choice options anyway because they're really funny. So the options are Harry, Foley, Mentor, or Ed.
Ed. It's the famous talking horse. I'm a centaur.
All right.
That's an old one.
Yeah, so you've gotten three right out of the last four. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Ooh, so here we go. This is question number five. Humans and those who live below ground have not had a great working relationship.
Well,
in
ain't
fact,
that the truth.
In fact, the residents of the underground have given us humans a nickname. What
I
is
was
going to
mention that earlier. They're the mud people, aren't they?
Shelby, what are you thinking?
Oh, no, they're the clumsies. Isn't that what they call them? Aren't they from something else?
Mud people might be from something else, too.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
I'm still thinking mud people. Let's hear the multiple choice and we can figure out.
The multiple choices are non-magickers, land dwellers, Mud People or Despoilers of the Earth. Wow.
Spoilers of the Earth?
Despoilers of the Earth.
Despoilers. Okay. So there's no spoiler warning because it's despoilers.
Jeez.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to go with Mud People still because that sounds right.
Mud People is correct.
Hey.
I must have been thinking something else. I can't think of what it was.
I'm not sure what you're thinking of either, but that does sound familiar.
There's another series entirely where humans are referred to as just killers. And that's from, is it Gregor the Overlander, I think?
You may be correct. I spent long enough that I haven't read.
I'm getting a thumbs up from one of the guys on the other side.
Okay, it is Gregor the Overlander.
Because there's like the big rats had some specific name, and then all the reptiles had a specific name, and nobody knew that the humans were called killers because no human could speak any of these other languages except for a young kid who grew up with, I forget the guy's name, was it Lloyd or something? I don't know. But he grew up being able to speak in like the hissy terms that everyone else does, and so he learned that humans were called killers.
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah.
And it was quite the shock in the books, but I don't remember which book that was. I think there was a series. I don't know. It's been too long since I've read that. Back to Artemis Fowl.
So question number six. Artemis Fowl Jr. decides the best way to add to the family fortune is to gain access to the leprechaun's gold. Doing much internet research, after all, he is a genius.
Because who doesn't use the internet?
I mean, Artemis discovers there is a book of the people, their Bible, so to speak, that holds all the answers he seeks. In what country does he finally find a copy of this book?
Oh, he gets it from this one person. He gives her, like, rice drinks.
Rice wine.
Yeah, it's like an Asian country.
I was
going to
say India, but I don't actually remember. Oh, boy. It's Egypt. Isn't it Egypt?
What's the multiple
Cairo?
Choice?
Oh, boy.
You want the multiple choices?
Yes.
India, Vietnam, Ireland, or England?
India.
It must have been
India. It's got to be India, then.
All right.
Egypt was my second choice. Maybe something else happened in Egypt.
I think that's in another book.
Okay.
That's because, I'm pretty sure I remember them talking about Cairo.
India is incorrect.
Wait, really?
It is actually Vietnam.
Ah! I was closer.
You were closer.
You were closer.
I should have listened to you on that one.
He eventually tracks down the sprite in Ho Chi Minh City.
Oh, that's right. Mm. Oh, my goodness. My excuse here is that I haven't read it recently.
That's what you said about Harry Potter.
So, you were the one who was guessing everything.
That's true, but you still said the same thing last time.
Although I got those right, so it was less of an excuse, but oh well.
All right, so...
Moving on to a question that I'm for sure that I know.
Question number seven.
Oh, wait.
Artemis, once he has procured the book, Artemis heads home to Fowl Manor to decipher it. Where is Fowl Manor located?
Isn't that...
The country or the city?
It's asking for a city.
Oh, boy. My first thought is that somewhere in England?
No,
or
it's
somewhere
Ireland.
In Ireland.
It's Ireland.
Ireland because it gets the Irish Spring
water.
Well,
I mean, there are only a handful of cities in Ireland to choose from, so...
I don't think it was Dublin.
That was my thought, actually.
I don't know. That's like one of the only cities in Ireland I know.
Well, let's get
Dublin,
multiple choice.
There's Galway, there's Belfast... None of those are the optional choices, by the way.
Oh.
So is Dublin your final answer?
Is that one of the choices?
Yes. The other choices are Edinburgh, London, and Paris.
Yeah, it's gotta
Paris
be Dublin.
Paris is not,
then.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Dublin.
Dublin is correct.
Hey! We know what we're talking about.
I should just use that Irish accent for the entire test and probably offend all of the Irish listeners out there.
We have Irish listeners?
Maybe.
Well, hello to all of you that I didn't know that we had. Thank you for tuning in.
All right, so question number eight. What other language does Gnomish, the fairy tongue, closely resemble?
Ooh. Maybe, was this one the one that was, like, the symbols themselves were pretty similar to, like, the hieroglyphics?
Yeah.
When he was interpreting the book. So the symbols were, but I don't think the language itself sounded like Egyptian. What are the options? Maybe Egyptian is what they're going for.
So the multiple choices are Latin, Egyptian, Greek, or Roman.
All are pretty plausible except for Roman, but I'm going to go with Egyptian just because I remember the symbols were close in Egyptian to hieroglyphics.
Egyptian is correct.
Hey! So I know what I'm doing.
It's really bad. As I'm reading these questions to you guys, I want to talk about the answers, and then I realize that'll give it away, so I have to keep my mouth shut. All right.
Question number. We figured it out on our own.
Question number nine.
Ooh.
Artemis soon discovers from the Book of the People that fairies do not have an unlimited inner resource of magic. They have to power up, so to speak.
Recharge.
Artemis deduces that he could therefore stake out where fairies may come to regenerate and then capture one. The ritual described in the book that the fairies undertake includes burying which item in the dirt?
Acorn.
An acorn. Yep.
It is an acorn.
Hey, that was easy. always thought they were going to ask, like, what river did Holly go to? It had a big tree in the bend. And I'm like, I don't know that one.
Yeah, I was expecting another city.
All right. Had Holly not bypassed the most magical place on Earth, she would never have been captured by Artemis. What is considered to be the most magical place on Earth?
So it is the question that I was afraid of.
Yeah.
It's the one river that's got like an oak tree. No, it's not a river, is it?
It's asking for a less specific geographical location.
Are they just going with Ireland or something?
A little bit more specific than that.
A little more specific than that.
There are multiple choices. Should you choose them?
That might be helpful because I can't think of the exact words off the top of my head.
All right. Your options are Disney World.
No.
Loch Ness.
Also no.
Limerick.
I don't think so.
Or Tara.
Tara.
It's got to be Tara.
It is Tara.
Only to find out, no, it's actually Limerick. And then we start singing Piano Man again.
All right. So this one is...
There's a caveat.
Fill in the blank.
Oh, okay.
Holly tries to plant her acorn and is spotted by Artemis and his faithful sidekick and cohort, Butler. They manage to capture Holly before she has a chance to rejuvenate. She tries one last-ditch attempt to escape by using one spell on Artemis and Butler that requires very little power, as it is the lowest form of magic. What is the name
of this
particular form of magic?
Do you remember, Shelby?
Oh, so she was trying to, like, hypnotize them or something, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's the one, but what's it called? I know for a fact that I know this one, so I'm actually kind of confident. Only to find out I'll be wrong.
Are you really?
It's on the tip of my tongue. They used it all the time.
They did.
It is a very, very common occurrence in the Artemis Fowl series.
It's also a pretty cool, like, I want to hear that just because there's some property that when it happens, what happens to the voice? I'm trying not to give it away because I want Shelly to come up with it.
It's the thing where, like, they... No, that's another book series. Whoops.
We've read too many books.
It's the one where they use the Master Bolt.
That's Percy Jackson.
The One Ring? Oh, no.
That's Lord of the Rings.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I can't remember it. I'm going to hit myself when I hear it.
Yes, you are.
All right, it's called the Mesmer.
It is, in fact, called the Mesmer.
There you go.
That's right.
Because the vocal effect that David is talking about is it layers the voice of the fairy with... overtones of bass and alto, I think, are the ones that he usually
explains. That might
be a
little bit of undertones, though. But
overtones,
your voice
undertones,
is like doubled and tripled, and it's a voice of power.
Cool. I agree. I really want to hear what that sounds like.
That would
be great. That would be awesome.
I don't know if there's an actual interpretation of it out there, so maybe I'll have to create one at some point.
All right.
Hey, they might in the movie.
Yes!
Oh, there's a movie?
Now that we're finally getting a movie!
Yes,
I'm so apprehensive
Artemis
about
Fowl
it.
Artemis Fowl is set to come out in 2019.
Oh, boy.
With Kenneth Branagh as the director.
You know what would be terrible? If this episode came out after the movie.
That would be terrible. That'd mean it'd take us like 2 years to upload an episode.
I'm sure we can get it up before then.
I hope we can.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways.
All right. Question number 12. So you've only missed two so far.
Well, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah. Before attempting to bargain with Artemis, the Lap send in their finest to try a rescue or capture attempt. One of the members of the group is Trouble with a capital T.
Because that's literally his name.
Actually, that is because Trouble is his first name. Which member of the LEP recon unit is Trouble? So it's asking for his surname in particular.
His surname?
What is Trouble's surname?
His last name? Oh, boy.
Oh.
I know it when I'll hear it.
I know the answer.
That's because you're also reading it, so you know what the options are.
It doesn't tell me what the options are. I just know what the answer is.
Oh, but he's got a younger brother who's only on the squad because...
Oh, tell mummy!
Trouble.
Who's not related to Julius. I know
he's
that.
Not.
It's
Julius
gonna make
Root.
Sense when you hear it.
It really is.
Would you like the options?
Well, once we get the options, we'll probably know the answer.
Yeah, you will.
Oh, he's a sprite, isn't he?
No.
Oh, that's a different guy. Oh, bother. I know these. I know what I'm talking about. Let's go ahead and have the options.
Okay. So your choices are Grub, Cudgeon, Root, or Kelp.
Kelp.
Because I know Cudgeon is somebody else and Root is somebody else too.
Yeah, you are correct. It is Kelp.
Hey, Trouble, we're doing Kelp. Well.
Okay, so question number 13. So we were just talking about him. Poor little Grub Kelp is the only member of the LEP recon unit left standing after Butler takes the unit on. Butler demands that they produce a negotiator who won't have to run back and check with his higher ups. Who is said negotiator?
I bet it's Julius Root.
It was.
If I remember correctly.
Julius Root.
Hey, that was easy.
Woohoo.
He's such a cool character, but I don't want to say anything else because if you don't know later books.
Yeah. We've already talked about this. What is Root's first name? It is Julius. Oh, we've already said that.
Hey, there we go.
Okay. All right.
Can we predict the next question?
This is an interesting question.
I don't know.
Let's see. In the old days, time stops were utilized by warlocks, but due to the instability of their arms, this method proved to be too unstable.
Especially if they've had too many drinks the night before, if I remember.
It does actually say that.
Something like that, yeah.
Foley managed to harness the warlock's power and use the time stop for a secure, stable amount of time. How many hours could it be used for at a time?
Winter! Oh, wait, no. That was what I said
before.
The
correct answer is Capricorn, so you're still wrong.
No, it's 8 hours, I believe.
Yeah.
You get 8 hours in the time stop, but outside time goes a lot faster. So, like, if you want, like, if you're inside the time stop and you call for backup, backup will show up in, like, a couple minutes for you, whereas actually it would take, hours or days elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you are correct. It is 8 hours.
So you get 8 hours of stopped time. Everything else goes on for, a couple days or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right.
That always confused me because I thought time elsewhere like stopped, 100% stopped, and nothing made sense in the book. I was like, wait, what in the world is going on? But I got it, so.
All right. So this is kind of a long question, so bear with me.
All right.
When Julius Root meets with Artemis Fowl, hey, I said don't fall asleep.
No, you didn't.
He finds himself thunderstruck by what this mud person knows about the fairy folk. Artemis acknowledges that he is aware of the time stop and that he can bypass the fairy's biobomb. Which is a bioorganic bomb that.
Hey, that might be another question.
Kill
you probably shouldn't
all
tell
of the
us
life
that.
Forms. If
we get there.
If we get there, we'll get there. Shaken by this information, Root seeks out the help of the dwarf Mulch Diggums.
Ooh.
Mulch is a kleptomaniac who has landed himself in jail approximately 20 times.
One of my favorite characters, to be honest.
So it is not a surprise to learn that when Root needs Mulch, he is in jail. What is a surprise are Mulch's cellmates.
Are these the goblins? Oh, is that the question?
Yes, that was the question. You didn't even let me finish. Yes, they're goblins.
They're goblins.
Oh, I knew that one too.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that was going to be the question.
Goblins and dwarves, let's see if you know this.
Don't
goblins and dwarves don't get along for a multitude of reasons. Firstly, because there is a massive turf war ongoing. Secondly, it is because goblins can conjure up one thing that dwarves fear the most.
I was going to say...
What is it?
I was going to say secondly, but then that was the question. So secondly, goblins can conjure up fire, which dwarves hate.
Yep.
There's a whole lot of goofy escape scenes in some of the later books where they always try to conjure up fire and Mulch will... Either Mulch or some other character will do something that completely douses them in something or other.
All right, so question 18. You guys are actually doing really well.
Hey, I still feel bad for missing one of that early ones. Oh, well.
So when Root comes in to extricate Mulch from his prison cell, Mulch is about to eat one of the goblins. So Mulch is relieved he didn't have to eat the goblin, as they are bad for the digestion. Why is this?
Because they're really slimy and bony or something like that.
Like they have like a really tough skin because they've lost their scales.
Oh, that's
right.
They do shed their skin. Like that's a plot point in a different book, I think. But was it the same book? I don't
that's
remember.
A different book.
But what are the actual options? Because I think we have a good idea.
Your choices are too tough, too grizzly, too gamey, or too bony.
Ooh. See, I said bony earlier. It's either tough or bony.
Yeah.
I want to go with bony. But I'm not actually sure. What do you think, Shelby? Having read it more recently than I have is my caveat.
I don't know. I think I'm going to have to go with tough.
Oh, boy. We disagree. Now, how will we know?
I will tell you the correct answer is.
Well, that's not what I was saying, but yes. It was a poorly worded question, but...
Fair. If you want me to track answers separately, I can do that.
I mean, we can get a kind of overall feel, but I'm going to go with bony.
The answer is bony.
Yeah! My first impression was, for once, correct.
Hey!
I didn't even have Seth helping me on that one.
All right. So, Root enlists Mulch's help in getting into Foul Manor.
This is also a great review of the book.
This is such a great review of the book.
If you haven't read the book, this is basically the book.
Yeah, so read the book anyway, but you still listen to this, or don't listen to this if you want to read the book first. Anyways, here we go.
But if you're this far in, what in the world?
Yeah.
Go back in time and... going on.
Root enlists Mulch's help in getting into Foul Manor. So at this point in the story, we learn that in addition to being great tunnelers, dwarves also have really weird hair. So once you pull a hair out of a dwarf's follicle, something happens to it. What happens?
It stiffens up.
Yeah, it stiffens in like the last position that it was in. So almost, like if you stick it into a keyhole.
But it'll like harden after a couple seconds. So if you stick it into a keyhole, it'll harden in the shape necessary of the key, which doesn't quite make sense, but it kind of does. But it's a very great plot element. Like, it's useful.
It is, because you are correct.
Hey.
Yahoo.
It also lights on fire. Oh, wait, no.
What?
That's not in there.
While Root, Mulch, and Foley are doing their best to thwart Artemis...
If you don't know the story, that's a great setup. Well, Root, Mulch, and Foley...
into a bar.
Mulch didn't actually run into the bar. He's too short. No, actually, no. All of them are too short except for Foley.
Hey, poor Foley.
Because poor Julius Root is like 3 foot something.
So unfortunately, at this point in the novel, we see that there are some political machinations going on.
Oh, no.
Someone has approached the council and convinced them that Root is not equipped to lead this mission. His first order of business, instead, is to bring a troll into Foul Manor to kill Artemis. Whose idea is this?
I believe we've mentioned this earlier. There was a name I mentioned earlier. Do you remember who this is, Shelby?
It started with a C something, I think.
Yes. It's a type of weapon, otherwise known as a cudgel. Oh, wait, no. Which, incidentally, is one of the names of the four droids that shows up at the beginning of Darth Maul Shadowhunter.
Cudgel?
Cudgel.
The Star Wars was earlier. We can't talk about that anymore.
There was a cudgel. There was a guy that had like a chain whip or something. Then
I don't battle remember. Axe.
There's another character named Cudgel that can translate Wookiee. Maybe the first one wasn't Cudgel. I don't remember.
Do you guys need the choices?
I think it's Cudgeon. That's my guess here.
That sounds right.
Is that one of the options? It is Cudgeon. You are correct.
I'm just pulling in random Cudgel names. Mostly from Star Wars. Oh, we should have done that as my guy from C. That was a different episode. Anyways.
So at this point in the story, Holly has managed to extricate herself from her cell and even complete the ritual, so her magic is at full capacity.
Hey, well, it's actually not quite full capacity because she wasn't... anyways.
Questions!
Sorry.
There's a troll running loose in the house, dwarf, and a 12-year-old genius to be taken care of. The troll is obviously the biggest priority at this moment. While stupid, they are surprisingly fast and extremely vicious. Which character ends up defeating the troll?
I know this one.
It was Butler.
It's Butler, with some help from Holly because she basically brought him back to life with her magic. But it was Butler who strapped up into a suit of armor.
No. It was... he did most of the fighting. I think his sister finished it off, didn't she?
No, she was completely out of it. She had been mesmerized to think that she was wrestling, so nobody called for help. So Butler, this was the one where... Holly was basically dead, but she used, like, not really dead, but she was injured, so she used all of her magic to heal Butler, because he was down. He strapped up a suit of armor. Her helmet cam captured him, basically goading the troll, kind of like they described it as like a bullfighter, how when you talk to it, it doesn't understand you, but the way that you talk to it, like, lures it into a false sense of calm.
Olé!
And then he used the big, like, a big mace or something that came with the suit of armor that was in the hall at the time to take out its, like, tendons and things in the back of its hamstrings and stuff like that. So he basically immobilized it, and then he put it on the cart, like a floating cart, and sent it out the door or something like that. So... if I remember correctly, it was Butler.
Well,
Seth is smirking at me,
so
I'm very worried
you
here.
You basically described the entire scenario, so yeah, you're correct.
Oh, is that the next question, too?
No.
Oh, good.
The next question is actually about the biobomb that I mentioned earlier.
Oh, what do
so
you know?
So the whole point
did we
of...
get that question correct, by the way?
Which question?
Butler?
Yes, it is Butler.
I was going to say, I'm very certain, but you never gave confirmation. It was like, I'm second-guessing myself now. Okay.
Yeah, so the next question is about the biobomb. So at this point, we've seen that the LEP aren't really doing much to stop Artemis. His plan has gone completely awry, but he's still proceeding with it. Mm-hmm. So the LEP concludes that their only option left is to send in the biobomb. Artemis has already said that he can defeat it, but the fairies are not sure, as they themselves have not found a way to get around it. So, let's see. Can I condense this question so I'm not reading an entire paragraph and
well, go
a half?
Ahead and read the paragraph. This will be interesting.
All right.
I'm very curious as to what's going on in this question.
Root therefore sends the gold to Artemis, assuming he'll get it back after the biobomb kills everyone, and out comes Holly. Artemis deduces that the time stop has a sustaining effect. Although extremely tired from their events, their consciousnesses won't let them go to sleep. Artemis therefore logically concludes that if he can force himself to sleep, the biobomb will have no effect on him. The fairies are unaware of this hypothesis, so after the biobomb goes off, they attempt to enter the manor.
There are so many things that they could have asked as questions at this point, so I'm trying to figure out what the actual question is going
to
be.
The actual question is, what happens to fairies when they try to enter a dwelling without permission?
That's the question?
Yeah.
All that setup and that?
That's why I was trying to condense it, because they took so long to actually get to that point.
Well, they start throwing up and they feel extremely sick, don't they?
Yeah, basically. It's like they're on the verge of dying.
You're correct.
Except for people who have done it so often that they're immune, but they also lose their magic.
Yeah.
Which happens to, I think, Mulch Diggums,
if I remember correctly. Mulch just lost all of his magic.
I think for that reason, wasn't it? I don't know. They went over it in one of the
other
books.
They go over it in numerous books. Okay, so backtracking a little bit.
Okay.
So when the gold was actually brought into Foul Manor for the first time, Artemis takes Holly aside and asks how much it would cost to have her fulfill a wish. How much of the gold does Artemis give back in exchange for his wish?
Half.
It was about half, I think.
It was half.
It was exactly
half?
You're
correct.
Oh, well, okay. There we go. That was easy.
All right.
Boy, that question was so much shorter
than
the
other one. That was... Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, whatever happened to Mulch?
What question are we on?
We're on question 24, so you've missed 2.5 questions out of 24.
Which means we're automatically better than 19.
Woo-hoo!
Yay! So I can feel accomplished. We're slightly better than average. Hey, even though we missed probably some... Well, they were location ones, so those are hard.
All right. So Mulch manages to convince Foley that he is dead by transferring his iris cam, which monitors his life signs, to a different animal.
Basically a contact lens. But it's got
but
a camera
really
in it.
Cool.
Really, it lets you see X-ray, and it hurts a little bit.
So,
anyways.
What animal does Mulch transfer his camera into?
It's a rabbit.
The wabbit.
Oh, poor wabbit.
It's wabbit hunting season. I can't do an Elmer Fudd impression.
Duck season.
Wabbit season.
Duck season.
Elma season.
Aww. What?
Don't you remember that one where they're going back and forth, where there was a poster on the tree, and it was Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck that. They were basically, Daffy Duck would pull down the poster and say, rabbit season. And then Bugs Bunny would pull it down and there'd be a duck season. They kept going back and forth. Eventually, they pulled it off and it said Elmer. I was like, it's Elmer hunting season. So they started chasing Elmer around.
Great. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, that's an old one.
All right. Anyways, we are on the last question.
We
you guys have
do
done
this.
Really, really well.
I have 23. Shelby has technically 22, but you know.
It's technically.
You're mostly right anyways.
Yeah.
So there is a certain swear word in the Artemis Fowl books.
Oh, I know this word. That, is that the question? Is it the word?
That is the question. What is the word?
It's D apostrophe A-R-V-I-T, if I remember correctly.
It's like Darvit, something like that.
You just swore in Elvish. No, it's not Elvish.
It's Gnomish, you heathen.
I'm sorry.
The word is Darvit.
Darvit.
You also just, okay.
There are no elves listening.
At least,
or are
I don't
there?
Think so. Or do the X-Files theme?
That was the X-Files theme.
Oh, I was thinking like the high whistle part.
Oh, okay. Well, that's it. You guys did really, really well. I'm honestly kind of surprised.
Yeah.
Kind of surprised.
I thought the questions would be harder than that.
Well, I mean, it was a very good review of a book that it's been a long time since I've read. It helps that the questions were like, they have a huge paragraph and a half sometimes in front explaining the setup. Because that helped me remember a lot of it.
That does help.
Except for like specific locations of things, because I can never remember locations of things, but that was actually pretty good length for an episode. So, Shelby, the way we usually wrap this up, Seth and I both have perfect pitch, hence the term AP in Napcast, or absolute pitch. So we both can name notes out of thin air and can sing notes without any reference key. So that's how we usually wrap up these episodes, is by picking a random key and harmonizing. We've often done it where the guest will just randomly pick a note and just start singing goodbye, and then Seth and I will harmonize on that note, which is just as fun.
Harmonize,
so do you have a preference which
harmonize.
Way you would like to do it, Shelby?
That sounds good, as long as I don't have to sing that note, because I do not have perfect pitch.
Well, so you just want to sing a random note and we can harmonize with you?
I guess.
Yeah, let's go for it.
That works. All right, you pick a random note and we'll glance at each other knowingly because we know the notes, and then we'll harmonize. So, Seth, you'll go second, I'll go third.
All right.
Ready?
Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.